Hello, this is Will, your werewolf, and this is episode 13 of Werewolf the Podcast. Hopefully you listen to the other episodes, then that would help make this one make sense. This is about the day I was offered some work by the British government. So I'm just going to carry on. Over the next few days, the room became filled with people at times. They all had questions to ask and compromises to offer. Agreements were raised and drafted. The powers that be were willing to take a chance. They were keen to see if I could follow the rules they had set. I had agreed to so many constraints. Now was the day in which I would sample my freedom once more. I would be allowed to escape my cage. It was a test. It was always a test in those early days. The welder came into the room with the soldiers. I was asked to sit at the back of my little home, and they gave me a thick fireproof cover to mask my body as he ate the weld away so that I could get out of the fucking box. The metal was cut and the side of the cage clanged to the floor. I instantly had the man's throat in my hand. He panicked as he reached pathetically for my hand, gurgling and choking. The soldiers had no time to react as I stood there holding him up as a trophy at arm's length. The weapons in the room eventually caught up with my movement and were pointed in my direction. After being this powerless prisoner for so long, the smell of fear was refreshing. The soldiers had no idea what the fuck to do as I dangled my dying victim there. Many of them had aimed in my direction, but none had pulled the trigger. The chief looked at me smiling. He took his army cloth cap off and started to fiddle with it in his hands while staring. "What's the move, Will?" "The doors are sealed to the room. Even you cannot get out of here. Even if you kill everyone, you would still be trapped. Also, the place is rigged to burn you up. Is that what you want?" "Let him go. Otherwise, I will get these guys to fire on you and him. And although it may not kill you, it will inconvenience you for a while." He nodded. He was waiting for my next move. I lowered the choking man down, his welder's mask dropping to the floor behind him. He maintained his standing position as his feet touched the ground, and when I felt he could support himself once more, I let him go. I smiled at the crowd around and made a big deal of dusting down the panicking man as he stood terrified and shaking, the torch still lit in his hands. I shrugged. "See, I'm playing. No harm is done. He's fine." I raised my hands in supplication. The room sighed in relief, and it was as though a weight was lifted off each man's shoulders. They thought I was having my last hurrah before my submission. They were almost relaxed. The chief had tamed me right in front of their eyes. But then I was stood behind another soldier at the back of the group. I had swept his legs from under him, had one foot on his chest, his gun out of his arms, and now pointed at the chief. The men had no time to react yet again. I laughed and then folded the muzzle of the weapon with my hands. "See, it can now shoot around corners," I smiled. "Okay, so what's the next step?" I asked. "You can see that I'm trustworthy. If I was not, all of you would be," I started, but the chief just continued the last monologue that he was doing over the top of me, which was a little rude and discourteous, but to be honest, he was running the show. "And there's a large number of explosives below you," he continued. "And then there's gallons of napalm that are in large tanks above the ceiling, which would be set off. I think several kilos of C4 and thousands of gallons of burning napalm would have been a difficult situation even for you to survive, Will. This room would have very quickly become the same temperature as the surface of the sun. There would not be any bit of evidence that you'd ever been here." He stopped and smiled. I removed the cap from the nearest soldier and kissed him on the forehead. The poor soldier was perplexed and really had no idea of how to respond to this action, but I simply smiled and winked at him, mouthing so no one else could see. "You're next." I then turned and faced my audience of raised weaponry, took a theatrical bow and raised my hands, briefly dropping them, and then shrugged. "Well done. You've passed," said the chief, smiling. "Well, you've passed one of many tests. The rest of your life is going to be one test after another, you lucky bastard." I lifted my hands and put them behind my head and sunk to my knees. Automatically, the guards moved slowly towards me to subdue and restrain me. One of them even went to cuff my hands while desperately trying not to meet my eyes. "Whoa!" exclaimed the chief. "Do you think that should be worth doing, Captain? Do you think those will hold him?" The captain, in response, looked down at the cuffs in embarrassment and shuffled away from me sideways, apologising. Eventually, heart rate settled in the room and I was invited to leave, very politely, and taken to a new cell in the same building. This one had a skinny cot bed. The walls were plain concrete, unfinished and still dusty from recent construction or lack of use of the room, one or the other. The floor was slate, but had nice underfloor heating. There were no windows, just several small air vents. Spotlights recessed into the ceiling gave its only kind of washed out light. It was a step up, but it was a cell of sorts. The chief said that they would not lock the door. They trusted me. Rightio, I thought, being confident that they would. They weren't stupid enough, I hoped, to let me have free rein of the building. Also, the CCTV coverage of the room meant that it would be impossible to get out without, you know, everyone noticing if I left. It felt that this whole thing had been built and organised just for me. Yet again, I was special, just like everyone in the past had said. This room was different though. It seemed that I would be able to escape this room quite easily. It seemed that it was way too easy, in fact, so that meant that it would not be double bluff. Again, it was a test to try me to see if I would listen to them or not. A test to see if I would try and break out of this place. The room was obviously booby-trapped to stop me from escaping. I could smell the solvents that would burn me. I could not locate where the accelerants were stored, and to be honest, even if I knew where they were, what could I do about it? But this whole thing was too exciting at the moment to find a way out. I wanted to see how this story would play. Food and water arrived regularly, and there was a proper toilet and even proper toilet paper and everything. The following day, the chief came to my door and asked me to follow him. He was by himself. No other soldiers. Which was a bit strange and trusting. I was so close to ripping him up right there. I wanted desperately to imbibe Fen and start a killing spree, but something held me back. The chief was very calm and walked ahead of me, completely relaxed and showed no fear of me. I could sense nothing from him, no discomfort or stress. There was nothing in the man's demeanour. It was strange how confident he was. He knew I could have killed him on a whim. He knew it, but he was content. It was weird and made me feel anxious in my turn. Eventually, we entered another vast room, much like the one I'd been in initially. It wasn't the same room that I'd been in. Not my original cell, but it was very similar. The smells were different. This room had been laid out with crappy plastic chairs in lines where an audience could be seated. They were facing a raised platform where a large steel cage sat. This cage was larger than my original, and inside the steel-barred cube was a chair, probably fixed to the floor, a table, a large bottle of water, and a cup. All the liquid containers were plastic with no deadly glass. Who knows what damage could be done with a bit of glass? I mean, in comparison to the damage that a giant werewolf could do. Hanging from the top of the cage was a microphone. The cell itself had cameras and other media-type equipment surrounding it, ready to record whatever was happening during the display. There were several techie-looking types in one corner and many soldiers with various tools of their craft, rifles, machine guns, flamethrowers and hand grenades. Why would they have hand grenades in a room full of people? Then I realised they were so scared of me they would use them if necessary. This made me immensely proud to feel that they felt significantly threatened by my simple presence. Smiling, the chief turned to me as he walked down the gap between the chairs, and as we got towards the cage, opened his arms to the scene and said, "This is all for you, for you and Fenrir, Will." As we arrived at the front row, he stepped to one side and motioned me towards the cell door. I nodded my head at his invitation and stepped up onto the platform, entered the cage, and turned to sit in the steel chair. The chair was most definitely bolted very solidly to the cage's floor. The chief smiled his gratitude and reached forward as he clanged the door closed, locking it with a sweep of his hand over some screen thing. It must have been fingerprint recognition or something like that. I just needed his hand then. He then pressed his finger to his ear and said, "All is as safe as it's going to be. Bring the bigwigs in." The doors opened at the back of the room and some suits and uniforms walked in. Several little groups consisted of senior figures surrounded by their respective entourages. It was somewhat amusing to watch the VIPs like ships surrounded by small, busy flotillas of tugs directing them into their respective dry dock seating. There were 10 bigwigs in total, and they had worn plain army fatigues to hide their identities for some unknown and, to be honest, uncared for reason. Maybe it wasn't for my privilege, who knows. It was apparent that each party was trying its best to pretend that the others in the room didn't exist and that they were not comfy dressed like this. What with no ranks or insignia to display, their importance to the others, you know, was unknown. They took their time to sit in silence and began to look at me once ready. I mean, really look at me as though seeing a person for the first time. Many different thoughts were going on in those heads. Some were incredulous, some were frightened, some were bored and uncaring. Most looked at me as though I was going to explode or something. Not necessarily scared, but they were nervous. The chief had his back to me and stood with his arms crossed. He nodded to a few people as they sat down and they returned an acknowledgement to him. Once they'd got comfy, the chief stepped forward and was ready to address his audience. It was time for the show to begin, and that show was me. Pure and unadulterated little me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're introducing you to this man. In silence he paused and turned and pointed at me with a high level of dramatic effect. This is Will the Beast. Yeah, that's not his real name. He, ladies and gentlemen, is a werewolf and all about evil son of a bitch. He turned to me. No offence about the bitch part, Will. As you've read in the report sent to your respective offices, we managed to capture him just after committing some type of act of his own personal type of genocide on a small village in the Baltic regions. He may look a kind and gentle fellow, but let me tell you, he's one of the most psychotic and brutal killers I have ever had the pleasure to meet. He is a cannibal and a child killer, and has personally dispatched untold numbers of people into the next world with his own hands, claws and teeth or whatever. So make no mistake, he is a consummate liar and a narcissist of the highest order. He is incredibly charismatic and the most dangerous living thing to strike the Western world since smallpox or even maybe Hitler. Please don't take him lightly. He's already remembered your face and your smell and whatever else his senses tell him and will probably in the future want to kill you for this humiliation. I know he wants to kill me. At this point he paused once more and turned to me and smiled. I nodded in agreement with his last statement, and he nodded back and turned back to his audience, smiling. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, please show him the utmost respect as a favour to me. I believe that he sits in that cage for no other reason than he's intrigued as to what is happening, and that if he wanted to break free, he could do so very easily. Although, I'm not sure about that, and maybe I am giving the man much more respect than he is due. In the event of a breach, you've all agreed to the building being sealed and destroyed in a manner we think would be appropriate to destroy the threat, but I'm really hoping that is not going to be necessary. Again he paused. We are assessing the chances of using him in operational situations. Today, we are offering him open to question and discussion by your respective divisions. He is a very bright fellow and seems like he wishes to be compliant at this stage. So without further ado, I hand you over to Will. He turned to me and asked, "You okay with this, Will?" "Yeah," I said. "This is not how I thought things were going to go, though." The chief nodded to me and made his way down off the platform. He took his time and dropped relieved into a seat near the front. He kept eye contact with me and nodded as though giving me approval or something, and I smiled and nodded back. A woman stood up out of a seat. She had short blonde hair and blue eyes. She was not classically good looking, but had something about her that stood out as attractive. She looked good in her uniform and would generally be on my list of things to do. I turned to her and gave her a bright, toothy smile. "Okay. We've all seen the reports and read all these the information that we've been given," she said, holding a folder and speaking in a sort of posh BBC accent. "But I still find it difficult to believe that there are actual real werewolves in the world. Why would we have never seen one before? So can we get some proof, please?" she asked. Yeah, ma'am, there are werewolves. Well, at least this one. Where do you think those legends come from? I replied with a slight smirk. I thought you guys had captured aliens and all sorts of stuff in your time. I've read the conspiracy theories that expound these things. Are they not true? Well, can we have proof of what you are? She asked, a little irritated. She obviously was used to get people complying with her wishes straight away. I sat and smiled and looked at her. Don't you believe your intel, ma'am? And then I smiled all coyly, batting my eyelids seductively-ish. I would love to believe the intel, Will, she said, checking her papers. I think all of us would like to see what an actual werewolf looks like, though. She smiled and paused, batting her eyelids right back at me. If, of course, that's what you actually are, not just some mentally deranged psychopath with some fantasy syndrome. I would also like to see it in the flesh, as it were. Is that a thing you can do? Or do we have to wait for a full moon? She turned to the other members of the audience, raising her hands. She was obviously getting very irritated now. Her body language was using exclamation marks. There were general noises of agreement from the others in the room about the need for proof. I would probably need to put up or shut up. I suppose I am like Taleb's black swan, an impossible outlier that cannot exist, although I am truly no black swan, but the black dog, I suppose in this case. I will have to prove myself. Maybe I don't want to, though. Maybe, just maybe. Go screw yourself, I smiled and folded my arms in a teen-like huff. She laughed. Well, it's your choice. She only had to look at her folder again to check my fucking name, the bitch. Will. But then I will personally see to it that you will have a very short life, Will. It will be not even measurable in dog years. Your choice. And she sat down in her seat and crossed her legs. I sat reflecting on my next move, gently tapping my foot and thinking whether or not I should reveal myself. Should I put myself through this humiliating exhibition? Would my posit also allow it? I looked at the posit and shrugged. This was a very embarrassing situation. I felt powerless and not in a spot where I could refuse and probably live. I would do what they asked, but I would remember this and those faces. I would keep my anger to one side for a future moment of vengeance. Many would suffer for this. Well, at least that's what I thought at this point. My ego was bruised, and that is when a true beast gets dangerous. Physical injury was annoying, but putting a dent in my larger-than-life self-esteem meant war. The posit sat up from his prone position. He yawned and scratched an ear lazily with a hind leg. After some considerable time, he stood and padded his weary way to the front of the stage, where he came through the bars of the cell. He purposefully took his time, and the gathered crowd were getting a little restless at my lack of movement. Eventually Fenrir sat down in front of my chair and looked me in the eyes. I trust you, Will. Will, you big knobhead, if you think this is a good idea, I'll do it, but I'm not sure that this is the best option, came into my brain. I could sense his unease and he could feel my slight lack of confidence, a rare thing to happen, I admit. I leaned forward and smiled, looking deep into his eyes. I really wish I could go back to my childhood before we first merged and be able to touch him and scratch him under the chin. We've no choice, my friend, so we must do this before we get a chance to kill them all. Kill them all in the most heinous manner that we can. He nodded, and I continued to reassure him that I knew what I was doing. Can we do that thing that I suggested with the needles, the cactus and the ostrich egg? He asked. Yeah, Fen? I sent back, slightly confused but in agreement. You haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, do you, Will? He replied. I shrugged again. Not a clue, Fen, but it sounds interesting. We prepared to join our minds, ready for the change. I smiled once more at my posit and rose to my feet. The audience started to pay a deeper interest. I began to take my clothes off and fold them carefully and place them on the chair. I did this in a striptease with a burlesque rhythm playing in my mind, taking my time and noticing with my upgraded senses the effect it had on those watching. To some of my audience, it was disgusting and a horrible display that seemed somewhat vulgar. To some, it was a tantalizing pleasure. To all, it was an uncomfortable experience in this particular setting, which meant I really enjoyed it. If humiliating me was enjoyable for them, then the least I could do was make them feel a little uncomfortable in their own skins. Once naked, I stood and faced the crowd, raising my hands as though I was one of those sad and slightly bad magicians on a Sunday afternoon TV. I stood there a little too long in silence, framing my flaccid but sizable penis with my hands. Oh, these people were becoming so uncomfortable in here. Ta-da! I shouted with some flourish and exuberance, breaking the silence and getting an audible gasp from several group members. There again was another silence and a definite poignant pause. So I took this pause to absorb the posit, and I took my werewolf form. My body was not racked with agony. It did not pass through the painful transformations of the film. No rolling on the floor in torment for me. No cracks of extending bones or ripping of muscles and flesh. Just the pleasurable growth of my wolfen body. It was similar to getting a whole body erection. You really felt bigger and harder all over, and a little more vascular too. All the watchers had witnessed was a smooth and comfy transition into my doggy dude self. My sleek body first elongated, taking me to my new height, my musculature then enlarged beneath my skin, starting in my torso and slowly moving up and down my body. I grew in size and stature, my triple jointed legs stretched beneath me as my snout elongated and my ears and teeth became apparent. Finally, my pelt of darkness covered me. Matte black darkness engulfs the light. It fell like a blanket about me. Even in these stark flickering fluorescent lights, I became a dark shadow, sucking all the light out of the room and into my form. The outlined silhouette in front of them then opened its eyes. They were like polished amber and shining with the very fires of the last ring of hell. The hell that I would send each of these humans to when I got a chance to touch them for a moment. I posed before them a god. All in the room realized that they saw something beyond their respective powers. They understood that my capture had not cowed me, that they could not have forced me into this cell or this transformation, and that they now knew that I was here by my own choice. It was utter bollocks, to be honest. This idea was not valid. I was stuck, but I'd been accused of being a narcissistic liar, so I would live up to that label. Maybe I could convince them that I was enjoying this. It would only show these people what their future held. I knew I was a terrifying sight, and even stood in this cage, the humans were disturbed, perturbed, and would have preferred to be anywhere but in this room. They were desperate to get away. The cameras that surrounded me whirred and purred as they moved and refocused on the tripod stands, and for the simple sake of the moment, I let out a howl so deep and soulful that it stirred the very soul of each person in attendance. Well, it stirred their ape DNA and the feces in their bowels. There was silence now from the room. No one moved, and no one dared break the quiet for some time. That was until it was all ruined by an audible, singular intake of breath. Following this, there were more gasps and a slight scream from a guy at the front of the room who tried and failed to gather himself together as his clipboard and pen bounced on the floor, and then again, there was silence. I stood surrounded by steel bars in front of this stunned audience. It felt good to let people actually see me for what I was. Their jaws had dropped in response, and just before reality took a werewolf-sized bite, I thought in my mind, "That's not all, folks," and took my transformation further into my sexy, mother-loving wolf form. In my wolf form, I am hugely intimidating. You would never mistake this shape as a large dog when in proximity. I stared through the bars with my new wolf-powered eyes at 40 or 50 faces as they tried to process what the fuck had just happened. Yet again, dumbfounded silence. The chief then harumphed in his seat, bringing everyone back into the here and now. He slowly unfolded himself from the chair and casually walked towards the cage. He crossed his arms across his chest and, looking for words to try to express his thoughts, spoke to the audience. He smiled at me and winked before he turned his back to me once more. "Well, I'd like to thank Will for his wonderful demonstration. I think that we can all agree that it was a very unexpected thing to see." He stood silently. There was really nothing else to add to what had just happened and what they had experienced. The audience broke out into clapping as though it was some fucking magic trick that I'd undertaken. He then turned back to me. "Would you mind returning to your man form for us? We can then ask you a few more questions." I shook my great wolfy head. I realised that he had not got a clue what his head shake meant, but he did say thanks in response. Things happened quickly after that. I was offered a contractor's position with the British government and their respective allies. As part of the agreement I made with the powers that be, they wanted me to undergo basic training in the military and then on to the selection for the Special Air Service. This would be the easy part of the deal for me. The hard bit would be the untraining of the wild wolf and the removal of all my unexpected nasty needs and wishes, and then the retraining of their new pet dog. If you'd like to buy me a coffee for my efforts, there's a link in the description below. If you'd like to buy the book that goes along with this podcast, there should be a link in the description below. Hope you enjoy it. Hope life is good. And love you. Bye.